We are in the book of Jeremiah, and Jeremiah is a prophet of God. And today we get to a text that I think is needed. I think it's needed for all of us. I think it's needed for us to understand that as believers, life is not always perfect. And as believers, we go through trials and hardships. But the one thing that God desires for us to do is to press on. Keep on keeping on. Just to press on. So if no one else will press on, I will. So if you would, stand for the honor of reading God's word. We're going to be in Jeremiah chapter 19. I want to read the last few verses here. Then we're going to look at chapter 20. Jeremiah has been called to preach to the people of Judah. He does it in an object lesson. He takes a flask, a clay flask, and he breaks it. And he says, this is what the Lord is going to do to us, to Judah. He's going to break us. And he's going to allow a nation to come and to judge us. He says in verse 14, then Jeremiah came from Topheth, where the Lord had sent him to prophesy. And he stood in the court of the Lord's house and said to all the people, thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, behold, I am bringing upon this city and upon all its towns and all the disaster that I have pronounced against it, because they have stiffened their neck, refusing to hear my words. Let's pray. Lord, this morning we come to you humbly and we ask God to examine us. Check our heart, our mind, Lord. Let us not have a stiff neck. Let us not have a hard heart. Lord, let us not close our ears to your truth. So, Father, I pray your Holy Spirit would do his work in us. Lord, may we have the determination to press on in the faith. And Lord, if there's someone here today that does not know you as Lord and Savior, that today they would call upon the name of Jesus and be saved. Lord, help me to be a plain preacher, so plain that a child could understand. I do realize that there is a judgment on my life in rightly dividing your word truth, and I do accept that place. For it's in Jesus' name that I pray, in his name that I preach. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. So as Jeremiah has preached a judgment upon the people, his fellow priests were there. Jeremiah was a priest and a prophet. There was other priests present when he was preaching this. One man in particular who had authority to control what was going on in the temple. If anyone got out of control or did things they weren't supposed to in the temple, he had the authority to take them and arrest them. And chapter 20, verse 1, it says, now Pashur, the priest, the son of Immer, who was chief officer in the house of the Lord, heard Jeremiah prophesying these things. Then Pashur beat Jeremiah, the prophet, and put him in the stocks that were in the upper Benjamin gate of the house of the Lord. So here's the scenario. Jeremiah is preaching the word of God. He is on assignment to say and do that which God has told him to do. And the message he preached, it's not a popular message. It's one of judgment. It's one of God is coming. We will not listen to him. We will not turn our hearts to him. And so God's bringing judgment to us. He's been preaching for 20 years for people to repent, to call upon the Lord, that God's bringing destruction, but if we would just turn our hearts to him, and no one's listening. And so Jeremiah gets another word to preach a hard message to a people that don't want to hear it. And Jeremiah has a decision to make. Do I preach what God tells me to preach and offend? Or do I preach what the people want to hear and be applauded? He preaches, and Pashur, who's a fellow priest, instead of being convicted by what God had said, instead of hearing the message of what God had said, here's what he does. He beats him, puts him in stocks, and puts him in the gate where everyone can view him. Now, interpreters, they differ on, did he get thrown in just a small cell, or was he put actually in stocks where his hands and feet were locked? Either way, Jeremiah was put in a prison to where people going to the temple could look in and see him and mock him and ridicule him and laugh at him. Pasher, a priest, someone who should have known better, someone who should have been tender to God's ways, instead was engaging in the false prophecy that all the prophets were doing. They were giving them false peace. Remember, Jeremiah, God accuses them, preaching peace, peace, when there was no peace. Pasher, instead of his heart being convicted by the word of God and letting the word of God convict him and bring him to his knees and say, Lord Jesus, forgive us. We are a sinful nation. We are a prideful people. We are a people that go against your ways and your will. Lord, forgive us and heal our land. Instead of doing that, he persecutes the man of God. The Bible tells us, blessed is the nation whose God is king. And pastors and preachers and churches all across America and even the world, they've got to make a decision. Do they preach the word of God? Do they preach the gospel, the full counsel of God, and risk offending people? Or do they compromise on the gospel and water it down to the point to where people will accept it and risk offending God? In your life, there's going to be a moment where you are going to be asked, will you stand and press on and stand up for what is right? Or are you going to bow down to what the world says? Jeremiah had a made-up mind. He was already deciding that he was going to follow what God had called him to do, and he gets put there in prison. Now, while he's there in prison, I don't know what he was singing. Maybe he was singing, leaning on the everlasting arms. Oh, they tell me of a home far beyond the sky. And he's there, and he's waiting, he's wondering, he's doubting, he's hearing the jeers and the laughter. What's he going to do? What are you going to do when life doesn't work out the way you thought it was going to work out? What happens when you experience a disappointment? What happens when you experience a hardship or suffering? Well, what do you do? Well, I tell you what God calls us to do. He calls us to press on. I'm going to press on. If no one else will, I will. Look at your neighbor and say, you just got to press on. And so here Jeremiah, here's what he does. So in verse 3, the next day when Pasher released Jeremiah from the stocks, Jeremiah said to him, the Lord does not call your name Pasher, but terror on every side. For thus says the Lord, behold, I will make you a terror to yourself and to all your friends. They shall fall by the sword of their enemies while you look on. And I will give all Judah into the hand of the king of Babylon. He shall carry them captive to Babylon and shall strike them down with the sword. Moreover, I will give all the wealth of the city, all its gains, all its prized belongings, and all the treasures of the kings of Judah into the hand of their enemies, who shall plunder them and seize them and carry them to Babylon. And you, Pasher, and all who dwell in your house shall go into captivity. To Babylon you shall go, and there you shall die, and there you shall be buried. You and all your friends to whom you have prophesied falsely. Woo! Jeremiah. He had just been put in prison and shackled for what? Preaching the word. Preaching the truth. Now, he had a decision to make. He could have sat there in that cell and said, ooh, I've done got myself in trouble. Now, this could mean my life. I'm gonna have to change my ways because, God, I don't know. I mean, here I am in prison. Where are you? How did I end up here? He could have decided, this ain't worth it. You know, after all, I've been doing 20 years and nobody has responded. No one's came down to the altar and prayed. I'm kind of done with this. Maybe I will just go along to get along. Huh? Maybe that's what I'll do. But that wasn't Jeremiah's attitude, was it? No, Jeremiah, he gets out of prison, and the first thing he does is he addresses the very man who put him in prison. He says, thus saith the Lord, here's what's going to happen. Your name is Pasher. It means one open to light. It means one who is to bring people into light. He says, no, your name is really terror on every side because you're not bringing anyone into the light. All you're doing is destining them to destruction and terror and chaos. The way that you're preaching is sending people to a devil's hell, not to a God's kingdom, and your name now is terror on every side. And furthermore, Babylon, this is the first time he announces the city, the nation that's going to come and destroy Judah. He says, Babylon's going to come, and they're going to take people captive. They're going to take you and your family, and not only are they going to take you, but you're going to be there in Babylon, you're going to die there, and you're going to be buried there. Say, well, what's he thinking? He's just trying to get himself thrown back in jail. Or better yet, maybe they're going to kill him this time. How was it that Jeremiah did not fear going back into the prison? You see, there's just something about going through trials and making it out on the other side that refines you a little bit, huh? Do I have anybody in the house this morning that you've went through some disappointments, you've went through some trials, you've went through some hardships, but you've made it out on the other side, and you've said, you know what, I've done been through that, and if I made it through that, I can make it through this. That didn't kill me. That didn't destroy me. Actually, it made me tougher. It made me stronger. It made me more determined. They don't like what I'm preaching. I'm going to preach it louder. They don't like what I'm saying. I'm not going to hide. I'm going to say it right to their face. I'm going to just say it and lay it on the line, let the chips fall where they may. And he is just going. There's something about making it through. You know? I don't know if y'all ever play sports growing up. How many of y'all play sports? Maybe you're currently playing sports. Maybe you had played sports. And you've had an opportunity to do like training week, conditioning. You know, the week where the coach is trying to run off the ones that won't press on. Huh? And boy, it's tough. And they're running you some more. Getting the trash cans out for those who need to puke, they can just go ahead and because there ain't no stopping in this week. You just throw up and keep running, huh? You just keep pressing on. And you're making, and sometimes they make you run stairs. Maybe they make you climb a hill and they're running. And there's a point too where it's kind of like the end of the training and the end of the conditioning. And there's just one final thing that you got to press on and conquer. And there you go. And you're doing it and you're running. Oh, you feel like you're about to die. Feel like you can't breathe. You feel like your legs can't go another step. But you know, you've got those who are a little bit faster than the others, right? You always got the one that finishes first, okay? I was not that guy, but there's always the guy that finishes first, and he goes through it. He's in the line, and you can just tell he's so relieved. He's like, whew, I made it, and then the next guy comes through, and they're like, yeah, and they're like, you know, and then the next guy, yes, and it's just this momentum starts building up, right? Now two, three made it, four made it, and the ones that haven't made it yet, the ones that are and they're going, they see ahead those who have already made it, right? And it kind of gives them some encouragement, and they just keep pressing on, and they just keep pressing on. Thank God for the people. They might not run fast. They might not be the best, but boy, they just don't quit. Anybody in here just don't quit? Huh? You just keep on keeping on. My son got a nickname for that. He was in Pee Wee Football League. Pee Wee Football League. He wasn't the fastest. Never came in first. I was sitting there watching him running around the track. They'd run him. I mean, he was on a professional Pee Wee League. These guys thought they were NFL coaches. I mean, they were running it like an NFL practice, and they were running these little boys to death, you know. And here the running backs are. They were just running. Here Caleb was. He was just trying. But you know what? He didn't quit. And then he might have been the last one, but he was the last one. They were all like, yeah, yeah. At the end of the season, they won. Nobody beat him. Nobody got a first down on him. It was a crazy team. And when they were given a little certificate, they gave out, they made all the little nicknames for the kids. And they said, this young man, they said, you know, he wasn't the fastest on the team, but he had determination, and he never quit. And so they nicknamed him No Quit. So they gave him that name. There's something about when you just don't quit, and you just make it through it, and you finally go through, and that last person comes on. What happens with the whole group and the whole team? I mean, they're cheering, yeah, yeah. I mean, and you're sitting there celebrating that. Woo, we made it through one of the worst. And if we can make it through that, then we can make it through anything. I want to press on. There's something about going through the fight, going through the struggle, going through the disappointments. Whatever it might be in your life, whether it be a job, a marriage, parenting, whatever it might be, just keep pressing on. I'm not going to quit. I'm going to also be a witness and share my faith. We're seeing God move among our youth. God's moving. He's stirring. I think there's a move greater than just in our area, but it's definitely in our area. And there's going to be a time where you're going to be asked, are you going to compromise your faith? Or are you going to stand? I'm going to keep on. You know how you start learning how to share your faith? Share your faith. You talk to one person, and then you're like, oh, that wasn't that bad. Then you can talk to a second person, then a third person, then a fourth. Then the more victories you get, and the more you say, I can share my faith, I can tell somebody about Jesus, then it just becomes natural. You just gotta what? Press on. Somebody say, I'm gonna press on. And so Jeremiah, he is pressing on. He says, this is what's going to happen. You're going to actually be cursed. You're not even going to be buried in the land of promise. Now, how many of you all have experienced high moments with God? Moments where you have felt like you have been in his presence, where God has done something amazing in your life or for you, and you have been on the mountaintop, and you've been like, praise God. How many of y'all have had those moments? We've had those moments, and guess what? Man, I want you to hear the heart of Jeremiah, and I want you to see the reality of life. Because you can go from one moment of standing and pressing on and being bold, but then get in your own private room and break down. And cry out. You see, we think certain men of faith or certain women of faith that stand strong and press on. We think there's something about them that is different, and that they must not have feelings or they must not have emotions. They must be able to just to flinch off everything that comes their way. That's not true. Because they're too human. They're human. They also feel. They also hurt. They also wonder. They also doubt. And so Jeremiah then gets alone to himself and he says to God, oh Lord, you have deceived me. And I was deceived. You are stronger than I, and you have prevailed. I have become a laughingstock all the day. Everyone mocks me. Man, he was strong and bold, but then he also was breakable. He says, Lord, this ministry you got me in. Oh, you're a good one, God. You tricked me. You scammed me. You deceived me. You got me in this ministry. You made me these promises that I was going to be a strong wall. a wall of bronze. But look what they're doing to me, God. I was in prison. No one listens. No one cares what I'm saying. I feel like I've been tricked. Now, that was his perception of the reality in which he was thinking at that time. Was it real emotion? Absolutely. Did he really feel maybe like God had been deceptive to him? Yes, he really felt that. Did he feel like he had been abandoned? I'm sure he did. Did he feel like maybe his ministry was pointless? I'm sure he did. You know, it's pretty hard for a preacher to preach for 20 years and not have one convert. You know, that'd be depressing. He felt like God had left him, that God wasn't there, that God wasn't true to his promise. Have you ever gotten to that point in life? Have you ever wondered where God is? That God's tricked you somehow? Like, this faith that you surrendered your life to just isn't working out like you thought it would. And it's like, well, God, I thought you made me these promises and it doesn't seem like it's coming out the way that I thought that it would come out. And so I kind of feel deceived. But see, that was his perception of the reality. Well, I don't hear it as often as I do now, but like, you know, a few years back, you'd hear this often. Perception is reality, right? How many of y'all have heard this? Perception is reality. Not true. Perception might be your reality. And it might be how you really think and how you feel and how you're processing that, but it might not be reality. You see, Jeremiah thought, where's the Lord? He's tricked me. He's left me here. He's abandoned me. That's how he felt. He really felt that way, but the reality was God didn't trick him. God didn't abandon him. God didn't leave him. He felt that way. You may feel that way sometimes. As a believer, you may feel like you feel like giving up and you feel like maybe God's not there and he doesn't answer you, he doesn't hear you when you pray. But the Bible says that he never leaves us or forsakes us. And by the way, he didn't deceive Jeremiah because he told him up front. He said, I consecrated you from the womb. You're going to go and you're going to preach and nobody's going to listen. He told him up front how hard it was going to be. If you're a Christian, guess what? Jesus doesn't deceive you. You know why? Because here's a promise Jesus made. You ready? Write this down. You're going to love this one. You're going to want to take this one with you everywhere you go. In this world, you will have trouble. But fear not. I have overcome the world. Okay? So here, Jeremiah, I want you to hear his heart. He says there in verse 8, for whenever I speak, I cry out, I shout, violence and destruction, for the word of the Lord has become for me a reproach and derision all day long. If I say I will not mention him or speak any more in his name, there is in my heart, as it were, a burning fire shut up in my bones, and I'm weary with honing it in, and I cannot. Oh, feel the emotion of Jeremiah. Jeremiah is pulling. He's struggling between a calling that God has called him into, but a reality that he feels like God's not there, and one where it seems like his ministry is not making any impact at all. And he says, I just want to give up. I just want to quit. I don't want to preach anymore. It doesn't seem like what I'm doing is working. It doesn't seem like anyone is listening. I just want to shut up and go off to myself so no one laughs at me anymore, that I'm not the joke anymore. But when I try to do that, it's like there's a fire inside of me. There's a fire in my bones that says, I cannot not preach what God's calling me to do. I cannot not follow my Lord and do his bidding. I must be about his business. Oh, I pray that there would be a burning within the hearts of every child of God that would be like fire shut up in our bones, where we would say, even if I want to try to appease people and I don't want to be the joke and I don't want somebody to know that I'm a Christian, I can't can't. I have to be bold. I have to say. I have to tell. I have to share. I have to be a witness. Even my teammates, if they laugh at me, they laugh at me because I cannot not share my faith. If my professor gives me a bad grade, so be it. I cannot not share my faith. Ah, it's like fire shut up in my bones. I will press on. Press on. And he had to come to a point. Is he going to press on? Look at what he says. For I hear many whispering. Terror is on every side. Denounce him. Let us denounce him. See all my close friends watching for my fall. Perhaps he will be deceived and we can overcome him and take our revenge on him. You know, it's one thing when your enemies mock you. It's another thing when your friends betray you. Some of his own pastoral friends, fellow priests and prophets, they're mocking him. He is in Whispergate. They are mocking him, ridiculing him, making fun of him, calling him names. We used to say clowning on people. I don't know what the kids say now when you joke on people and laugh at people and stuff. I was thinking about this. I thought, you know what? If they're trying to make up a name for Jeremiah, you know, they said they're saying terror, terror. Now, what did Jeremiah call Pasher? Terror on every side. Now they're using that name against him. They're saying, oh, there's old terror. Every time he preaches, ooh, God's going to get us. There's that preacher, old Terramiah. I'd say, you know, they're putting little memes out about him, you know. There's that old Jeremiah again. He's preaching about God's judgment. He's preaching about God's judgment. He's been going on for 20 years, and God hasn't done nothing. What a joke. And that'd be hard for a man. People plotting against him, wanting to see his fall, wanting to see him give up. If you ever get to the point where you feel like giving up, where you're done, like there's just no sense in, you got to get deep inside and say, no. No, God is with me. He fights for me. I'm going to make it through. And I got to press on. Just press on. Look what he says. But the Lord is with me. As a dread warrior, as an awe-inspiring, intimidating warrior. Oh no, God, he's fighting for me. He is the warrior that when the enemy sees him coming, they start trembling. Their knees start shaking because the Lord is a warrior. The Lord is his name. He is the host of angel armies, and he surrounds his children, and he camps around us, and he fights for us. He says, the Lord is with me as a dread warrior. Therefore, my persecutors will stumble. They will not overcome me. They will be greatly shamed, for they will not succeed. Their eternal dishonor will never be forgotten. O Lord of hosts, who tests the righteous, who sees the heart and the mind, let me see your vengeance upon them, for to you have I committed my cause. He says, Lord, I'm asking for justice to be done. He gives them over to the Lord and says, I understand that vengeance is yours. That's what the Bible teaches us, right? We don't pay back our enemy with evil. Jesus said, don't fight evil with evil. You defeat evil with good. You don't curse your enemy. You bless them. Now, that's hard to do, right? If you're not in the spirit. Because if somebody curses you, if you're in the flesh, what's the first thing that comes to your mind? Now, y'all don't have to be super spiritual this morning and say, I don't really want to say what I think, Pastor. Our flesh wants to get even. It wants to seek revenge. But the Bible says, vengeance is mine. Leave that over to God. Let God take care of your enemies. Let God take care of those who make fun of you. Let God take care of those who have hurt you, who have wronged you. That's in God's hands. Verse 13, sing to the Lord, praise the Lord, for he has delivered the life of the needy from the hand of the evildoers. And when he gives it over to God, he releases it. He begins to sing praise and glory to the Lord, for he is resting assured that God is going to take care of him. Now, I could stop there, but boy, I would do injustice to the text and to us this morning. Now, some scholars look at this text and they say, they don't know if Jeremiah really said this at this time, that maybe this was a later saying of Jeremiah, and the scribes, as they were putting the Bible together, they inserted it here. I believe in the inspiration of the Word of God, but it's perfect without error. I also believe that the Holy Spirit was in the preservation of God's Word and overseeing how it was given to us. And so I believe that it's there in this manner at this time because God wants it there. And there is a message and a reason and a purpose for us to know this. Let me ask you this question. How many of you all have gained a great victory in the Lord and you have released something to him and the weight has come off of you and you have experienced the power of a God who just does something mighty in your life and you lay it down and then the next day you go pick it back up again? Anybody ever do that? Jeremiah did. Look at how quick he shifts. Cursed be the day on which I was born, the day when my mother bore me. Let it not be blessed. Cursed be the man who brought the news to my father. A son is born to you, making him very glad. Let that man be like the cities that the Lord overthrew without pity, like Sodom and Gomorrah. Let him hear a cry in the morning and an alarm at noon, because he did not kill me in the womb, so my mother would have been my grave and her womb forever great. Why did I come out from the womb to see toil and sorrow and spend my days in shame? Man, feel the weight and the heaviness of the emotion of Jeremiah. He has come to the point at this moment. He's done great things for God, been bold for God, experienced God's freedom and blessing. But then a spirit of depression comes upon him, a spirit of unworthiness comes upon him, and he begins to even say, I wish I was never born. It would have been better for me not to have been born. There may be times when you have gotten that low, where you have thought, you know, I just don't know if life's worth it. I don't know. I just don't see any hope. I don't see a future. Maybe it would have been better if I was never born. You know, if you've ever thought those thoughts, guess what that means? It means you're human. Jeremiah, a great man of God, anointed to do mighty things for God, has a moment of depression. When you experience troublesome things, the natural response is to be troubled in your spirit. We went to Eastern Kentucky University. They asked Pastor John to share a few words about how the FCA, how great it's doing here. And then at the end of that event, they had a cardboard testimonies go by, and all the college students were doing a college, they were doing cardboard testimonies. And man, there was a word that stood out in my mind. And I asked Pastor John, I said, was there a certain word that you saw, like, that was, you know, just a lot of them? He said, yeah. Is the word anxious or anxiety? If you get anxious about a test, you should. Right, Patsy? That's normal. If you get kind of some anxiety before a basketball game or a football game or a sport that you love and you get a little nervous, guess what? You should. That's okay. One of the best basketball players on our team, he was a senior, I was a freshman, and he broke some records in the regional state tournament and averaged 45 points a game and just phenomenal guard. He'd throw up for every game. If you lose someone you love, man, and you find yourself crying and heartbroken, guess what that means? You're human. That's what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to cry. You're supposed to let the tears flow. That is part of God's healing process. Not everything in life is pain-free. We have turned a culture into, we don't want you to feel anything. Don't feel hurt. Don't feel pain. Don't feel anxiety. No, you're supposed to go through life numb to all the things, and you're supposed to be able to just face it all with nothing. No. We are humans who struggle. We get down when bad things happen. We cry, we're broken, we have despair. So you let it out and you release it. But you don't stay there. You don't stay there. You give it to God and you cry your tears. Read the Psalms. Man, great men of faith who struggle, and they cry out, and then they embrace what God gives them, and they press on, and they press on, and they keep moving forward. They don't quit. They keep going. They release it, and they press on, and when they are hurting, they cry out, and they keep pressing on. After this moment in Jeremiah's life, this will be the last time he says this about himself. Oh, he'll experience some more hardships. They'll beat him again. They'll even throw him in a pit. They'll throw him in a well just to get him to shut up. And guess what he does? As they're walking by, they hear this strange sound going, repent, repent, you need to repent. God's going to run. And they're like, what's that? Oh, that's that old Jeremiah again. He's just going to press on. He's going to press on. You're going to struggle. You're going to hurt. There's going to be times when you cry and it seems like you can't cry anymore. That's okay. There's going to be times when you feel like giving up. There's going to be times when you feel abandoned, when you feel like God is not being faithful to his promise. Let it all out and then look to the Lord and say, but I know God is my warrior. He is battling for me and he is with me all the way to the very end. Like Paul said, I'm convinced of this, that neither height nor depth nor principalities, nor things present, nor things in the future will separate me from the love of God. And so Jesus, guess what he did? He pressed on. He experienced sufferings, hardships, mockery, but he pressed on. He pressed on all the way to the cross where he took on our sin and he died on a cross and he rose again to give us victory. And guess what? He calls us to take up our cross, to deny ourselves and follow him. He asked this question, what does it profit a man if he were to gain the whole world but yet forfeit his own soul? What would a man give in exchange for his soul? No, this life, it's not a bed of roses where no pain comes. It's not a life where we're free from anxious thoughts or being depressed or hurt or disappointed. No, it's a life of broken people who just determined with fire shut up in their bones to press on. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, this morning we come to you. Lord, there's individuals right now, they're in that moment of despair. There are some, if they'd be honest, they feel like giving up. And God, I pray that you speak a word to them. There's some folks, Lord, that just need to get alone sometime and just let the tears flow. And then they need to look to you and say, God, I know your promises are true. I know that my reality right now, it feels this way, and this is how I feel, and these are my emotions. But I know you are true and faithful. There's some this morning, you've never surrendered to Jesus as Lord and Savior. You've never placed your faith in him. And today, I'd ask you to come and receive him as Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name, amen.